Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Forgot how to record a podcast, Mike.
No, I remember. We start like this. Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Mike.
How are you? Welcome back to the United States.
Thank you. Welcome yourself back. I don't know how to say that. Welcome to you.
Yeah,
welcome yourself back to... I'm welcoming myself and you back to the United States and apparently relearning English also. It's all at the same time. So for those who don't know, we have not truly recorded in this fashion in like over 2 months because we were both going to be traveling for a big chunk of the summer. And... we pre-recorded our summer episodes because we really like to stick to the, you know, once a week, every Monday, there's an episode.
We've never missed a Monday.
We haven't in 2+ years. I don't know how many years.
It's
been a while. More than two. So we pre-recorded our episodes for the summer, though we did the one that we recorded during the summer was the one in Austria where it was like live from Europe or something like that. And so we haven't like recorded in this, you know, fashion. We got to like, you know, kind of knock out the cobwebs, get the dust out of wherever. Like I told Mike, I was like, I got on like 30 minutes early to test all my equipment because I hadn't had all this, you know, stuff set up in a while. And
well, you know?
I was on time.
You should not have let me know that because I always get on early and wait for you. So now that I know that you're also waiting there, I'll just be like, let's start 10 minutes
early.
No,
I wasn't there. I got on like 40 minutes ago, tested it, and then got off.
Oh, okay. So, I will still be on early and expecting you to hopefully.
What's funny is when I actually joined the Zoom just to test my equipment, I was like, there's a chance Mike's going to be in this Zoom. I know you're always early. And I was like, you're the guy that's like 40 minutes early to a party, I bet. Where you're like, I'm still getting ready. I wasn't ready for guests to show up yet. Okay. Well, anyways, we're excited to be back. I'm excited to be back. I can't speak for you.
I'm very excited.
And we both got back. We've been back about. I've been back, what was today? Exactly, not even a whole week yet.
I've been back 1 week, a little over 1 week.
Yeah, wow. So we've both been back about a week.
Mm-hmm.
And let me ask you a question, Mike.
Okay.
I think I know the answer to this, but I'm not positive. For me, I'm going to start the question with some statements about myself. But it's context for the question. So for us, my family, this was a first time. We've never done a trip for more than 2 weeks before.
Mm-hmm.
But you've done some long trips before, right?
Yeah, we have.
Okay. Like frequently? Like.
Yeah, frequently. I think we were in Europe for 3 weeks last Christmas. So we haven't gone this amount of time with our kids before. But I would not say that this was...
But that was a first with your kids for doing like over 30 days with the kids.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, I was more just curious on, well, you know, because we'll talk about some of our kind of learnings and insights and different things from some longer, I don't know if longer term is even the right word, longer than the average vacation, I'd say, you know, with our families. And, you know, a lot of my insights personally have to do with the length of time. So I was just curious, like how often you had done this long of a trip. And I think it's pretty different with and without kids for what it's worth, but.
Yeah, I think so.
I've not done such a long trip without kids, so all I could do is guess what it would be like. Imagine, fantasize, you know. Okay, so let's jump in. We were going to start with sharing the costs of a recap of what we spent, and then you had the idea to save it for the end, which I like.
Yeah, we're gonna make everybody wait through an hour of context and Q&A until we get to the cost of our trips.
Yeah, I like it. But honestly, I'm in suspense because I don't know how much you won't. Mike would not tell me. Like 2 weeks ago, he said we should do this episode and said he knew his number. Well, I still didn't know my number. Or I think maybe it was when you got back. I don't know. Whatever it was. It felt like 2 weeks ago. Time is all messed up for me right now. But I really, really want to know your number. Like I'm excited to play Price is Right.
I really
want to
know your number.
I'm excited to guess each other's number. So when you said wait till the end of the episode, I was like, man, that means I have to wait till the end of the episode, which I'm I guess we'll be there soon. Okay. It'll make me have a little less context because I want to get to the good part, you know?
Yeah. This episode's going to be 15 minutes long.
Yeah. Okay. So we were going to share some thoughts and kind of learnings, observations, insights from our trips. But we actually put an Instagram story up about a week ago asking if people wanted to hear this episode, which everybody did, and then asking what kind of stuff you wanted to hear from us. And we got some really good questions from people. So we're going to kind of focus on the listener questions and talk through it from that angle. So we'll jump in. Do we want to start with just our own quick assessment of, like, I always like this model from work. It's WWWEBI, which is what went well, and then even better if. So it's sort of like a feedback model of, like, you know, what worked well is all the good stuff. And then even better if is kind of the, like, you know, my learnings, like I might've done this stuff differently, or the next trip would be even better if.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you go first, Mike? Like what went well and what would be even better if?
I think overall, the trip went extremely well for everybody in my family. We all had a great time. There were no problems or issues that I can really remember. Even better if, I think we had too much unstructured time for our kids, especially when we were at my in-laws. And even though we did a lot of activities for them, I think it was hard for them to, you know, kind of manage their behavior because they didn't know if they were about to go do something that they really were excited about or didn't. And so I think we would have just planned a little more structure for the kids. But I think it was pretty minor. I was really happy with the trip. My kids didn't want to come home. We asked them a bunch of times as we were leaving if they were excited to go home. They're like, nope, we want to stay.
Yeah, that's so funny. Man, by the end of our trip, the kids wanted to come home and we were ready to come home too. So it's interesting. First off, mine's not going to be nearly as summarized as yours. But it is interesting that you said that the kids, you know, the unstructured time and the kids wanted to know what was happening, right? And didn't, because I didn't even think about it till you said that, but a frequent question and kind of observation from myself and Greg were, you know, the kids were constantly asking us, like, what's next? What's the schedule? What are we doing today? And half the time, or like, they want to know, like, you know, what's tomorrow? And then where are we going? And then what's happening? And they really didn't want to get involved in any of the planning up front. We kept trying to make it like a family event on weekends to, like, do some research and watch some YouTube videos. And sometimes we would force them to watch some videos and stuff, but they really didn't. I thought they'd get more excited about the research and planning of, like, what to do in a city. Now, outside of Paris, nobody really got excited about planning. So they didn't know what was happening. And half the time they would ask us questions. I was like, dude, I don't know what's happening tomorrow. I was like, we haven't even, like we're often planning, like, you know, we know where we're sleeping every night, but, like, we're often planning, like, you know, 48 hours in advance because we're just so behind and everything. And so it was just funny, but kids like routine. They want to know what's happening. They don't want to be just surprised all day with, like, okay, you know, we're going to do this now and, like, have no notice. Mm-hmm. So it is just a funny thing I often forget about kids is that they actually crave a level of detail about what's going on in their lives, which makes complete sense because I guess, you know, a lot of adults do too. Though when we were in Austria with you, I loved not really knowing what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were in charge of planning and I really appreciated that because it was like 4 days of a long trip that Greg and I didn't have to plan. And so even when the kids would ask what was going to happen in Austria, I was like, look, I have no idea. I was like, Mike's in charge. Yeah,
talk to,
like,
Mike.
Yeah, I was like, I literally do not know. I'm not keeping information from you. Okay, so I'll do kind of a speed round, not quite as speedy as yours, but of what worked well.
Oh, you haven't even started your answer yet.
Oh, yeah, I haven't actually. No, oh, it's just that wow. Was just the commentary on your answer.
Oh, Maggie, I have missed this.
Now we are going to shift to my answer.
All right, okay, let's hear it.
So I'll start with what went well. Couple of things at a high level. One, giving the kids a trip budget. So we, like, since we're talking about money here, we, you know, this was a big deal for our kids to be away for this long, because for those who don't know or might not remember, we have Greg and I have a blended family. Our kids each have other parents that were going to be back in Atlanta. So we, you know, they were away from their other parents for 6 weeks. And, you know, they're also kind of getting into, like, some teenage years. And so they're away from their friends. And between those two things, there was a little bit of anxiety with some of the kids about being away for that long. So we really wanted to make them feel really comfortable. And, you know, just we were doing some things to kind of like appease them is the wrong word because they were getting this really cool trip. But we decided to give the kids a trip budget. And we gave them each $100 budget. And then we gave them, they negotiated a little bit extra, which I always appreciate when they negotiate. They negotiated an additional $20 for some friends' gifts budget, like to be able to bring some of their friends back some presents. And I was like, look, I don't care how you spend that $120, you dip into your money for your friend, whatever you want, but you now each have $120. So that was a $360 expense for us that didn't feel that bad in the when we share our amount in the grand scheme of things, it was nothing. That was like, you know, one night sleeping somewhere or less than that sometimes. And so it gave them some like freedom and control and how they spent things. And they loved it. And it was fascinating. Greg and I were talking about this the other day. They were like really thoughtful and considerate about what they did and didn't get. And you know, some delayed gratification throughout the trip. Mm-hmm. And you kind of saw different people's spending behaviors and habits. Because they were given, you know, 39 days in our case to spend that $120, and they had to manage it and kind of, you know, not spend it all in the first city. So anyway, that was fun. That worked really well. I would totally do that again on a trip. Salad spinner, big, loved it. My like $5 salad spinner from Aldi in Germany mm-hmm. went on the whole trip. And guess what? Somebody asked about this. It did come home with us.
Wow. We should just do like an principle. Instagram giveaway and some lucky winner gets your salad spinner.
You want to know why we're not doing an Instagram giveaway? That would be funny though. Well, so we're going to get off topic.
I regret asking.
Okay. This is a really quick story. Okay. So I rarely regret getting rid of things, but like 3 or 4, maybe 5 years ago, I got rid of like a nice OXO salad spinner that I'd had for a long time. I just didn't eat a lot of salads. And then I got into like a huge salads phase and I was like, actually, it's like really helpful to dry your lettuce sometimes and like other produce and stuff. And so I always was like, oh, I regret getting rid of that salad spinner. I sold it on like a neighborhood group for like $5. And like, I just wish I still had it. And so when I got that, I was like, actually, you know, we need a new salad. We need a salad spinner at home. Like we would use it. So it was kind of win-win that we were like, it was kind of brought home as a souvenir of like, we need a salad spinner. And now we'll always remember we got this salad spinner in Europe.
Anyways, right.
And we washed a lot of our clothes in it. So we thoroughly washed it. Okay.
Okay. Even better if you were about to go there, right?
No, I wasn't. No, I got a couple more. I'm going to go so fast. Don't worry. Okay. Friends on Fire stickers. I'm so glad I brought some. It was like fun to put them on things. Mm-hmm. You know, just remember maybe someday some of our listeners will find those stickers around the world. Who knows? And then the last one was meeting up with friends. My what went well. Like, we have traveled with friends before. We don't get to do it often enough, but it is really fun to be with like other adults.
So much fun.
So it was fun. Like we were, you know, by ourselves for so long. And so it was like fun to like, you know, a couple weeks into the trip, be able to meet up with you guys. That toast atop Eagle's Nest, like that was definitely one of the highlights of the trip. We talked about that on our other episode, so I won't go into detail. Okay, I'm going to shift to even better.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize we had to like give our highlights of the trip.
I thought that was like the what went well, even better if. This is like a performance review.
Okay, I would like to echo those highlights as well. Okay. Meeting up with you was fantastic. My kids loved it. Britta loved it. I loved it. Such a fun time.
Yeah, we had a great time too. Okay, my even better if. I will be quick here. We did too many touristy things in some cities that I just kind of regret. Like if I could go back and replan certain days. There's just things where it's like, I wouldn't have gone to the Louvre. I wouldn't have gone to Versailles. I would have spent my time doing some different things in certain cities. I would have done just some more kind of local things and not some of the super touristy things. Europe was super crowded this summer. I was talking to a friend last night, actually, who'd been to the Louvre a couple times. And she was even reminding me like everything was that much busier than it even normally is. So it's like, our Louvre experience was so much different than hers because it was ridiculously crowded, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, so that we would have had even less movement. So we'll get more into this on like length of time, but like moving every 2 to 4 days became exhausting. Just the constant packing up, the constant getting resettled, the constant travel. It was a lot. 6 weeks was just too long for us, which I'll talk about more because somebody asked about that. So I'll kind of save some of that. You know, we ran into a few issues with like IP addresses and not being able to access things from the US that I didn't anticipate. So some kind of like business things we needed to handle with, even with our rental properties. And so, you know, that was one thing. We ran into a few SIM card issues too, with like our cell phone plan. So we would have done more of that research in advance. And like, we got kind of screwed at like a shady place in Germany, in Munich, that sold us a SIM card. And like, there were some issues with it. And so there were just some things where like, I would have had a more specific plan for where and how I was going to buy my local SIM card. Cause you can't just walk into like any shop and buy a SIM card. Well, you can, but you don't always know what you're buying. And I think this is related to the timing, but just kind of like slower days in smaller towns, right? Like we did a lot of, we mixed in that in with some cities also. But we really enjoyed the slower days in smaller towns, like by far over a lot of the big cities.
Yeah.
And I got a little, even better if I got a little like spendy, you know, like Mike experienced it. Like when I drink, I spend a lot of money. I just forget. I don't care, right? Like I get in vacation mode. I get a little tipsy. I like spend too much. And so,
I cannot wait to hear your total for the trip.
I don't even know if you can. I'm very curious to hear you guessing it. If you can guess close. Okay.
Let's jump into our Q&A. First question. What did you estimate as the budget for the trip? And did it matter? I will go
first.
Did
you have a budget?
I never budget for anything. And therefore, no, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, we didn't have a budget either. We had like a rough estimate of what our overall expenses would be. Not even for this trip, really. I had kind of a number in my head, which I'll talk about when we share the real number. But no, we did not have a budget. Some friends were asking us that and we're like shocked we didn't have a budget. But I was like, nope, I knew what certain things were going to cost, but I had no idea what we would spend on activities and food and stuff. And so, yeah, didn't matter. Didn't have one. Someone said how much exactly we spent on ice cream. No idea. Couldn't tell you.
Really?
We'll get into that. Yeah, I'll tell you. Well, we'll get into why when we get to the budget.
Give me a guess.
A guess on how much we spent on ice cream?
Yeah.
I think I did a guess on Instagram. Probably about $1,000.
Wow. No,
that's ice cream and desserts. I know how often what are you laughing at? The end desserts?
Yeah. I just want to caveat this. It's more reasonable when it includes all desserts.
Oh, no. I mean, that's an ice cream and desserts. It's less if it was just ice cream.
All right. Let's move on.
It was a lot. Okay. Someone said how we decided when to stay in an Airbnb versus a hotel in each spot. Well,
we both had employee rate.
And this was my last chunk of an employee rate too.
Yeah. So for me, it was, we stayed in two hotels at the front end and the back end of our trip. And they were both exceptionally nice, luxurious stays. We got a great deal on it. And it was a fun way to start and finish the trip. But otherwise, we don't typically stay in hotels because like we need more space. So like when we were in France for a week, we did Airbnb in a big house in the Alps. Because, you know, we had a kitchen. We want to make all of our own food. We want extra space.
But you were with a bunch of other people.
Yeah, we were with a whole bunch of other family. So we needed a huge house.
But if you were on your own,
we would have done the same.
In a town with no hotel, you would have... I mean, sorry, in a town that had a company hotel, you would have still stayed in like an Airbnb.
Well, I think the places we were going were not company hotel type. Like I didn't see any hotels in these towns that we were.
There weren't.
We were in.
I mean that's my, just for once I might actually sum something up better than you, Mike.
Okay.
It's never happened before. Okay. But for me, how I decide really is the price. Like ultimately, because I was still getting the employee discount, if there was a hotel, one of our company's hotels in a city, that usually won price wise. Because even me, we have to get two rooms now because it's just the size of our crew and it's in Europe and the rooms can't get five people in one hotel room there. And so it really was just price. So if there was a hotel, I took the hotel and I booked two rooms and that was better. That was cheaper than an Airbnb. If not, we did an Airbnb. And then also if I was not, and I am now not working for a hotel company. So in the future, because I wouldn't be getting the employee rate, the Airbnb would often win out versus two hotel rooms where I'm paying full price.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's a price thing. And it's like, yes, so there's a convenience factor. So if I wouldn't fully do it on price because I wouldn't want to stay in a hotel the whole time, but I would go back and forth between hotels and Airbnbs Just because I like the different kind of offerings that both have. Like, I like the variety of both, if that makes sense.
Personally. All right, next question. Can you please share some of the anxiety you experience spending?
Did you experience anxiety spending on vacation?
That's a good question.
Because it was such a like long trip.
I
want to hear your amount before I even hear your...
I don't think so.
I think you didn't experience anxiety because I really want to know the amount you spent.
We're getting to it.
I think it's going to be like shockingly low. Maybe I'll be surprised.
I think it's going to be pretty low. I had like, I'm not sure I would even describe it as anxiety, but like when we would buy, you know, little tram tickets in Amsterdam and it was like $20 for the day to save us, you know, 5 miles of walking, I would like pause and be like, well, we could walk and that would be fine. And that way, you know, is it really worth it? And then I'd, you know, move on and just buy the tickets anyway. But I wouldn't describe, I'm not sure I would describe that as anxiety. I just think twice about certain things.
Yeah. So I did not feel a lot of anxiety because I was in vacation mode, like mentally. And I was in sort of like, this is an early retirement celebratory trip that we planned. And this is a once in a lifetime kind of thing we're doing. And so I was pretty like cool about spending, a little too cool about spending money on the trip.
Even with that Yoda hat at Disneyland Paris,
I put that Yoda hat on last night for some friends that were over. It's a great hat. I'm going to have that hat forever. I did have a little bit of it when I was like packing up at the end of the trip. I was like, I think as we were actually unpacking here, I was like holding it up to Greg and I was like, did this need to be part of our lives now? What's funny is where I had anxiety is coming home.
Mm-hmm.
So we came home. I went to the grocery store, like two stores back to back. And I was just like shocked at the prices of things, like re-shocked because things are normally priced, which we'll talk about in a second, in Europe. Anyways, so I had more anxiety upon returning home and having to spend money in my day-to-day life than I did. It's a very psychological thing to, you know, it's like I was in vacation mode, so I didn't have it. And now I'm back into like, I don't have a job. I don't have a paycheck. And I'm spending away my life savings every time I buy anything. Okay. This is a good question. How did the minimal packing work out with the kids?
We always pack extremely light as a family, including with our kids. And so this was very normal. We had washing machines almost every single place we went. And so, I thought it was great. I can't imagine packing more than what we did. And we packed pretty little.
Yeah. Like how many separate outfits did your kids have?
I don't know. I want to say like four.
Yeah. My kids had the outfit on their back, what they wore on the plane, and then four outfits.
Yeah.
So five in total. And it worked out great for us. And Greg and I were kind of similar in the volume of clothes we had. Worked out great. As always on all trips, I could have packed even less. As I'm like towards the end of the trip, I'm like, oh God, could have done without this, 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 and this. Haven't touched these things.
And I think it's an important reminder that when you are traveling around, nobody cares if you wore the same t-shirt two days in a row. Nobody cares. So just if it's comfortable, wear it.
My kids were concerned about that upon leaving. They were like, we're going to keep rewearing the same. I was like, you guys rewear the same outfits at home. You have all your favorite clothes. And you're always asking me to make sure something's washed. And we did not have access to a washing machine the whole time. So, I mean, we would sometimes go a whole week without access, but my salad spinner really upped my hotel laundry game. Mm-hmm. So I would do, you know, we packed a lot of dry fit type clothes, especially with the kids. Stuff dries overnight in a bathroom. And so, it was very easy to kind of refresh our clothing supply when we needed to. And then when we would get to a place with a washing machine, we were like, ooh, like such a luxury. Like, you know, it does the laundry for us.
All right. Next question. Things and experiences you were most grateful to return back home to.
I got a list. Do you have a list?
I am grateful to be back in my house because I've already started some big projects like redoing my deck, and I missed my office, but mostly just being like in our house. We really enjoy being here. Other than that, I think Europe is doing stuff much better than the United States. And I actually miss a lot of things that we enjoyed over there.
Yeah, I agree with you that Europe does a lot of things better than the US. Not to knock the US, but I'm just saying like many things better. A few, it's funny because there were like a number of things that I was observing as I got home that I was like, oh, it's so nice to have this again. It's so nice to have this again. Good quality knives. As a silly thing, but when you're staying in like Airbnbs, there's always crappy knives. I don't know what the deal is. Like someone thinks they're not allowed to provide an actual like sharpened knife, which makes it dangerous to cut things. Anyways, coming back to like good quality knives, logical washing machines. Greg and I would always joke that like Europe does so many things better, but why can't they get a functional washing machine that's like not even in English, but that's just logical in terms of how it works. Like washing machines and the buttons and what they do and like how intuitive they are work way more intuitively in the US than they do in Europe. I'm sorry, Europe, but something's not right. I'm not sure what's going on there, but someone needs to look into that. And I missed a lot of green vegetables. When I put something on Instagram about this, even your wife replied and was like, what are you talking about? There's lots of broccoli and no broccoli anywhere. Like there was like a massive shortage of good green vegetables in every grocery store I went in. It's a weird, there was lettuce.
I'm surprised by that.
Yeah. Many people said they were surprised by that, but I was there and I don't know where they were, but they were not at the Aldi's. Maybe it's a supply chain.
It must be a supply chain issue.
There was a lot of lettuce choices, but I don't like that's a whole different category of green vegetables to me. And I did miss, like you said, I kind of miss my house and like just I like my house and my life. And so, you know, it was nice to come home. Okay. Trip length. Someone said Maggie alluded that she had some reflections on this, but didn't expand. Not enough context. Okay, are you ready for the context?
Ooh, all right. So, let's hear it.
I love that someone said that. So 6 weeks was a lot, right? It was, in our opinion, for our family, it was too long. And it maybe would have been a little bit different if we had done some things differently. Like if our kids didn't have other parents that they had left, you know, at home, that would have been one thing. There was a little bit of, you know, homesickness at different times. And if we had done slower travel, like if we had stayed in one place for 7 to 8 nights and really settled and kind of, you know, not been moving so much. But we moved every 2 to 4 nights and it was exhausting because you get to a new city. We spent, you know, for less than 48 hours in Florence, and then you got travel mixed into that time too. And you're like, well, I'm only here. I got like one full day in Florence. I want to make the best of it. So it's a long day and we're walking. I mean, we would walk like 10 to 12 miles every day and we were exhausted. The kids were exhausted. In the beginning, it was totally fine. There just became like a exhaustion, you know, halfway through the trip where we were all ready to get home. And I felt bad for like our last two cities because we were just all kind of, it was like the end of a marathon. We were just dragging our bodies over the finish line, still trying to enjoy the trip. But it was too long. I would focus on shorter trips in the future, personally.
I could tell by the tone of your Instagram posts that when you got to Paris, you had had it.
We were tired. I felt bad because everybody was like the most excited about Paris. And we rallied and we had a good time. But I had no patience for like the Louvre and feeling trapped inside like a Rubik's Cube of a museum. I was like, what's going on here? You know,
you didn't like Versailles one bit.
I don't think I would have loved, I don't like big ostentatious, like opulent things, even if they're a part of history. I just don't, the minimalist in me doesn't appreciate that there was once that much wealth in one place when there's, you know, people that are hungry in this world. You know, like it doesn't, in the history of it's there, right? That's that there are people killed over that in Versailles, right? And so it is just, yeah, I just don't like, it's like I can appreciate the history of it, but anyways, you're right. I know Mike was like concerned about me during some of those Instagram posts where I was like getting a little negative about certain places. But it was too long for us. What about you, Mike?
We were gone 32 days and I could have kept going. I think we were all like, we all started to like think of things we were excited to do when we got back, but I don't think I wouldn't say we were all ready to leave or eager to leave. I think we were having a great time.
Well, let me ask you a question. You were visiting family for how long?
3 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Over, I mean, 50 to 70% of the trip you were with yeah. family, right? So that's a different vibe, in my opinion. Like, and you weren't moving every 2 to 3 days.
Right.
I think we
had six unique stays.
Yeah, we had 13 unique stays.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's a competition. I'm just after 32 days, we would have kept going.
I think those are some of the big differences, because I thought I wanted some of this like longer term travel in my life. And I think there's certain circumstances where it could be good, right? Like if I were visiting family, if my kids weren't away from, if my kids were just with their two parents, you know, the whole time. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's just some like dynamics. If I wasn't moving as often, you know, there's a bunch of like little tweaks that actually would make it enjoyable. And I should caveat too, like we had a great time. We loved the trip. It was amazing memories. We're so thankful and happy for it. If I planned future trips, I would do like a 2-week trip at the beginning of the summer and then another 2-week trip at the end of the summer. Like I wouldn't do it all back to back jammed into one trip, if that makes sense. Best worst splurge.
All right, Maggie, I think this was when you were hot and in a hurry and you had your
did
little
you
ATM running.
At all on this trip?
Yes.
Yes, that was my worst splurge, by the way. My worst splurge was the 53 euro ATM fee.
So Maggie, I also made a mistake on this trip like that.
What'd you do?
And it still bothers me, and I wanted to let you know that I did it.
Were you hot and in a hurry?
I was not hot and in a hurry, but we were returning home. We were flying out of Geneva. So we were checking out of the hotel, and the guy at the front desk asked me, did I want to pay in dollars or francs?
You always say francs. What'd you say?
You always say francs.
Yeah, you always say francs.
And I got it mixed up because like my credit card has no foreign exchange fee. So you just pay in local currency and then it converts it, whatever it is at the day. I said US dollars and I didn't even pick up on it when I said it. I picked up on it 10 minutes later and after I had already left the hotel. And so I ended up spending $40 more because I did that. And I was just, it was so dumb.
And I know it.
So that was my worst.
What's a good tip for everyone traveling? You always want to pay in the local currency because otherwise they use whatever conversion rate they would like to use that you don't have control over. And it often has like kind of an upmark in the conversion rate, which is hard to explain. But
if your credit card has no foreign exchange fees.
Yes.
Which many do.
Which almost like all credit cards do.
Yeah,
maybe some local debit cards at like a local bank don't, but like all the big cards do.
So splurge. We splurged at these two hotels. Even though we got employee rate, we still had all of our meals there, and we got 50% off the meals, but they were still expensive. But it was totally worth it.
Surprised you ate your meals at the hotel. That's nice.
Yeah. They were amazing places, very nice, stuff we don't normally do. It was a very nice splurge. I will also say that we kind of splurged when we got tickets up the cable car at Mont Blanc, which were like, you know, $80 a person or something like that. But it ended up being possibly the best day of the entire trip. So I'm really glad we did it.
That's awesome. Yeah, those cable car fees are like no joke. We did them in a few different places and they add up, especially when you're buying like a whole family's worth. I can't even think of like our best splurge. The whole trip was a splurge. I mean, I know we're making ice cream jokes, but like I think, you know, again, trying to kind of just like keep the kids happy. We did buy a lot of ice cream, like out, you know, like gelato and things like that. We also did have some really nice vegan meals that we spent a little more than we typically would like spend eating out on, but they were like amazing, memorable meals. And I love supporting vegan restaurants and places we're visiting. And speaking of vegan meals, one of the questions we got was, how hard was it to eat vegan in different countries? Do you think it was more expensive? First off, it was super easy. We have a rule that when we travel internationally, we will eat vegetarian if we need or want to, which is meant for like, you know, when we're in Greece, we want to try feta cheese, right? And sometimes we can't ask in another language, like every ingredient that's in something. And we typically don't anyways. We just use our best judgment. So we ate at a lot of vegan restaurants, but we also ate some vegetarian meals, right? Like we went out for Italian in Florence and we didn't go to a vegan place. We just went to a good Italian place because that's what our kids wanted. And so it's super easy to find vegan places. And most, the bigger the city, the easier it is to find. We had some amazing vegan spots in Amsterdam, in Paris, in many different places. And is it more expensive? Not really. I mean, eating out is always more expensive. And often when we were eating out, it was at a vegan spot. But I wouldn't say if I was comparing like a local vegan place to a local non-vegan place, it was any more expensive. Not in general, the food in Europe, eating out and in the grocery store was significantly less expensive than it is in the US right now.
Yeah. And I think generally speaking, the food quality was much better. There are fewer things in grocery stores, for instance, but that's because they just don't have the same level of processed food that they do in the US. So yeah. Like mostly everything was pretty good for you.
It's funny. Someone asked that specific question, which is probably why you're talking about food quality. They asked if his food quality was better in Europe versus the US. I'm not sure I would say. I think it varies depending on like where you're eating at. But like there were certain things where I was like, I was sort of like the vegetable comment and like, you know, other things. But I think for me, what is most interesting about food when I'm in another country is that it's just different. And I like the differentness. Like I like seeing different products in the grocery store. It's kind of fun to just see like what the locals, you know, what some of the local foods are and things like that. And I will say actually the food quality, like when we were in the south of France, was like so good. Like the local cheeses and the local vegetables and the bread. Oh my gosh. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's definitely, we happened to be in environments where we were getting a lot more like local fresh made food, which definitely, makes you feel and is real that the quality, you know, is better. Someone asked about our drone experience and what's a great starter drone. I feel like, Mike, you should take that because you told me what drone I should buy.
So DJI makes the best drones, and they have a whole bunch of them, including inexpensive ones, relatively inexpensive. But I have a DJI Air. You have a DJI Mini. They're both very small. The Mini's smaller than the Air. And I would actually suggest getting the Air because it has like a very nice proximity sensor capability, which will tell you when you are near stuff and then also prevent the drone from flying into things. So if you're new to drone flying, I would get this one. Maggie has the Mini, which does not have proximity sensors, which is why you crashed it.
You did not recommend to me.
I did not recommend. I think I told you which one I had and then you went and bought a different one, which is fine.
I thought you actually recommended the one. I don't know. Maybe you might have just kind of given me the DJI
guidance. Regardless,
I've hit a lot of things.
You hit a lot of stuff. You almost hit a person in the face, which would have gotten you kicked out of Germany.
I almost hit Greg in the face another time. Yeah. I almost hit a local person that I think, luckily I was not anywhere near them, so they didn't know who was flying the drone, or he might have been more annoyed at me. I cut my hand on my drone. I had a lot of drone.
Such a drone adventure for you.
The fact that my drone made it home in one piece with the place. I mean, I was flying it in places I should not have been flying mm-hmm. it, which kind of like gives me a thrill.
I know, right?
Like I flew it through the Triumph. What's it called?
Arc de Triomphe
in Paris. Drones are banned in Paris, just so in the whole city. I won't be welcomed back anytime soon. Let's put it that way. But I was never like, yeah, it was great. I figured, you're like, what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to take my drone away?
You hit somebody in the face with a drone.
Well, that actually is worse, but I felt like I was really good. In this scenario, I was going to hit a stone wall, not somebody in the face.
Yeah, an international monument icon.
Yeah. When you say it that way, it feels like poor judgment. But I was hot and in a hurry, and there was just, you know, only so many decisions.
So here's,
okay.
You know, I'm surprised you actually flew it in Paris, because all over Paris, at least from what I remember, are not just police, but like military, right? Because they've had a history of terrorist attacks over there. So did you not see military with automatic weapons?
Had I seen, I did it every now and then in certain places, but I did not see anywhere near the Eiffel Tower, maybe closer to the Eiffel Tower, but not like in the park where I was. And then, cause I remember one day seeing some guys that were heavily armed in France or in Paris and thinking, oh, I would not fly my drone if they were like standing 10 feet away, but there was nobody anywhere near me. Like I really didn't see. I actually forgot about the beginning of our trip when we were, I don't remember where we were, leaving Munich. the volume of police presence in Munich, it turns out it was because of the G7 summit.
Mm-hmm.
But there were, I'd never seen so many police everywhere I'd turn on the road, like every, you know, mile marker or kilometer marker, we would see like just a bunch of police cars off to the side. It was just like a massive police presence.
So I never fly my drone around police, and definitely not around military police.
Yeah, and so, I agree.
And that's why I was impressed that you decided to bust out the drone all over Paris.
I also have kind of like a, you know, a pretty believable, like, oops.
Yeah.
Didn't realize you're not supposed to do this.
Let me tell you my life story, man, why this was okay. Yeah.
By the time they're done with me, they'll be like, could you please just stop? Just take please take your drone and stop talking and leave. And we don't want to hear any more context. Okay. I think I have a question for you before we get into post. What is next on your travel bucket list?
Britta and I are going to go to Japan. Okay. For 2 weeks without our kids, because she's
going to do... Is that for the World Series of Swimming? I made up that term.
Swimming World Championships. So we're gonna go there. And
that
then
she's competing in. She's competing. Clear.
That's right. And next up, I think we're probably gonna go back to Colorado because we love going there. And then I'm thinking like Iceland and Norway and Sweden for a month or two.
Yeah,
I think that'd be really fun for us and the kids
at some point too. I think we're in the like Portugal and Spain are pretty high on our list.
Oh, cool.
For some like for a next trip, maybe. I don't know. Who knows? A lot of it for us will probably be where we find good airfare deals too, because, you know, no jobs. Okay. I'm going to ask myself this question that also I forgot came in, which is a good question. What it felt like to take a vacation and not have the feeling of going back to work. I will sum it up by saying it was lovely. And it was one of the highlights of our trip was even when we were tired and ready to come home, one of the reasons we were ready to come home is because we got to come home to so much freedom and flexibility, and that we weren't coming back to really stressful jobs where we were behind because we took a bunch of time off and all that. So
that's great. All right. Let's talk about our costs for the trip.
I am very eager. Can we start with yours?
Let's start with what people thought our costs were. So go to Instagram.
Thank you.
Let me
put it in. Okay. So hold on. Almost there. And I did yours first. Okay. We have gotten, a good number of replies. I didn't even know your amount. So I guessed on the categories. I said, and I had to choose. I had four categories. So I did under 5,000, 5,000 to 7,500, 7,500 to 10,000, and then over 10,000. Most people, the majority of people, 43% of people guessed 7,500 to 10,000. And then the second closest was 36% of people said 5,000 to 7,500. I know a little bit more about where you were and what you were doing. I know you were with Britta's family at her parents' house for a while. I know you were in that house in the French Alps and that you didn't have to pay for the actual housing itself. So I know how frugal you guys are, like cost conscious you are. Just in general, you're pretty good and focused on that in a way that I am not. And so my guess is going to be that you shockingly somehow did it for around $5,000.
We spent $3,900.
Holy fuck! Am I allowed to say that on the podcast? Holy shit. That is crazy. What is the math of that? I'm just laughing out loud at the difference in our numbers. What is the math? I really did. Mike refused to tell me. I really wanted to know this number a while ago. He refused to tell me.
So here are some big ones. Okay. We used points for our flights. So we didn't pay anything for our flights.
We had some fees in there, but like...
$50.
Okay.
And then when we flew, like I found a $100 flight for all four of us from Amsterdam to Stuttgart. And we didn't rent a car. But when we needed to take public transportation, Germany at the time had some countrywide €9 for all public transportation, buses, trains, trams, €9 per person for the entire month. So we went everywhere for nothing. And
that's
then we did actually end up paying. We invited my wife's parents to join us at our last hotel and paid for their stay, which ended up being about the same as what we would have paid for our portion of the house in France. So the hotel stays were about half of that. Hotels, including the food that we bought at the hotels. The rest of it, we just, you know, we went to the public pool, we went for hikes, and we did very inexpensive stuff. We made a lot of meals.
Yeah. That is impressive. What is your per day? Do you have the per day breakdown on that?
Well, let's get the calculator out. I'll tell you exactly.
It was 32 days. It was $121 per day.
Yeah. And here's the best part. If we would have stayed and put the kids in camp, it would have been $4,000.
Yeah.
So we made money.
Than camp. Yeah. You saved money.
All right. Let's hear the survey results for you. And then I will make my guess for you.
I really want to. I built it up too much to give you too many clues of that. Mm-hmm. It was like so much money. Okay. I said for my categories, I couldn't even make them in the same camp as yours. So I did under 10,000, 10,000 to 15,000, 15,000 to 20,000, and then over 20,000. Most people, this is how people always do this when you give them like four choices. They pick the third one, just like they did in yours. Mm-hmm. So 45% of people guessed that our trip was 15,000 to 20,000. And then 33% guessed that it was 10 to 15. Few people guessed that it was over 20,000. Nobody really guessed that it was under 10 because they know me too well.
I think you spent $18,000.
That is a more accurate guess than mine was to yours. I mean, mine was pretty good for yours, but yours was even closer. We spent $18,800.
Nice. Yeah, I know you so well, Maggie.
Not nice. It's nice that you guessed close, but that's a lot of money. So, yeah, I could give you like some high level breakdowns just because I myself was like, well, how did we spend that much money? We spent about, you know, we didn't have our big airline tickets were on points, but there were actually some pretty big fees. Like we had over $600 in fees because there's weird fees going through like London and with flights and all sorts of. So there's still fees even on that. We spent the most on accommodations. So we spent $6,800 between Airbnbs and hotels. That was on average about that piece of it was $175 per day. So we spent more on accommodations than you spent on your entire trip.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you were staying with family for a big portion of that. And we spent between rental cars, taxis, trains, all that stuff, we spent $3,600 on that. And only about half of that was the rental car. A little bit more than half of that. About 2,000 of it was the rental car. There's a lot of fees on rental cars when you want to take a car through like four or five different countries. It's much more expensive than when you're within one country. We spent $2,000 on what we categorize as travel activities, which was like, you know, Disney tickets, taking the tram up to, or, you know, buying the thing to get on the boat that we went on, Mike, or the thing up to Eagle's Nest, the bus up to Eagle's Nest, that kind of stuff. We spent about $4,000 on food. And I say about because there was a lot of unaccounted for cash on this trip. We took, you know, we had a lot of ATM withdrawals, and we, at some point early on in the trip, we agreed that for the sake of enjoying our vacation, we were not going to detailed track that cash. There were a lot of places we were in that only took cash. And so we wrote down some of the bigger expenses for cash where we had to, you know, spend $100 on something, but all the little stuff where it's like, oh, we bought some nectarines from this fruit stand and we bought a baguette from this guy. Like we didn't write all that down, and we had about $1,600 in cash at the end, and about 1,000 of it was unaccounted for. Gelato, who knows? Who cares? We had a great time. So yeah, that was, let's see, what's the math? So my math was on average, we spent $484 per day. And then I also did average per day per person because I wanted to get everything down to as small of a number mm-hmm. as possible just yeah. to mentally make me feel like we spent less. So we spent $97 per person per day on this trip. And we spent about as much in 1 week as you spent on your entire trip. I just did that math.
It's not a competition. We both had a great time.
It's not a competition. No, but it does. I mean, I hope it shows people the broad range of travel experiences one can have, right? Like if you want to travel on a lot less, you can, and it is possible, right? And if you want to splurge, and if you want to, you know, live it up, and if you don't have family to stay with, and you're going to have to pay for something every night, like, it just gives you a range of what a trip can cost. And I think that's hopefully a good illustration for people. I'm not sure that there's anything like educational in there for people, but I think it's super interesting to kind of hear the ranges of like what things cost people.
I think it is important for people to hear the costs and to hear about experiences, because I think if somebody were to just hear out of context that I spent $3,900 for a month, they'd be like, that sounds miserable. Like, I don't understand how anybody could have fun for that.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But you can do it. And I think even, you know, you spent $19,000 rounded up. People can spend that in a week very easily on a vacation somewhere.
Yeah. I've heard people that spend that much at Disney, actually.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is if you put forth the effort to go think about what's possible and do research and try to make as good of a decision as you can financially, you can go have a great time for much less than you think it would cost you.
Yeah. Well, I was just excited our number was under 20,000 because when the trip started, I thought we were maybe going to, like, before we went on it and added anything up in my head, I was like, oh, this is like a $10,000 to $15,000 trip. And then as we were on it, I was like, this is a $20,000 trip. And then I was like, it might be more than a $20,000 trip. Every time I would, like, you know, get out a credit card to pay for something. I mean, we earned some credit card bonuses on this trip. We earned the new Amex, that Amex spending, whatever amount you have to spend, taken care of.
Nice.
On one trip. Okay. Should we do a top three takeaways?
Yeah, let's do it. Why don't you
number
do the first one?
Number one, some of us spent a lot of money traveling this summer. Some of us more than others. But like we were just saying, this is a money category that is a priority for both of us. And we both, in, you know, very different numbers, but like we both feel good about the money we spent this summer.
And I will say, if my trip would have cost me $19,000, I also would have done it and I also wouldn't have been happy about it.
Yeah. Hey, I meant to point out the irony that the person who still has a job, like two gainfully employed people in your household spent $3,900. I got two not gainfully employed people in my household that somehow spent, as you rounded up, $19,000.
Number two, trade-offs and intentional spending are real things, even when you are on vacation.
Yep.
Even when you're hot and in a hurry.
Even when you're hot and in a hurry, even when you say, you know, dollars instead of francs, Mike.
Yep.
Even when you accept ATM conversion fees that are really ridiculous. Number three, tracking your expenses on vacation can help you budget and plan for future vacations. So one of the things that we talked about is neither one of us budgeted for this vacation. We didn't have like an amount that we were trying to spend within or whatever, but we both did track our expenses. And even my loose tracking of like not knowing exactly where all my cash went, I still know exactly how much we spent on this vacation. And that helps us in the future so that we generally have an idea if we want to kind of live that way for a 3-week vacation, right? That's generally what it's going to cost us unless we're, you know, going to a very different cost of living location. But it's a helpful thing for you to know so that you can plan ahead as you're thinking about your finances in the future and as you're saving up or as you're just planning for travel, which I hope all of you are planning for, because Mike and I talk about this a lot, but like travel is one of the number one, it's my number one spending category in our entire budget because we don't have, you know, a mortgage. So even if we did have a mortgage with $19,000 trips, it still would beat the mortgage. But we really value it and we prioritize it and it's important to us. And I think travel is just such an important thing for ourselves and for our kids to have a worldly perspective.
Definitely.
And to be able to see all these places in the world. And I'm very thankful and grateful that I'm able to do this for my kids, because I didn't get to have these kind of trips when I was a kid. I never went out of the country until I was well after, like had my own job after college, and just didn't get to do this stuff. And I'm constantly kind of trying to remind my kids like how fortunate they are to get these experiences. And I myself am just very thankful to be able to provide them and have them myself.
And I am thankful that I got to join you on that trip. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool. I'm glad we got to meet up on it, and we did some stories around it. But the point up on Eagle's Nest was definitely like an extra special memory and moment on this trip. So thank you for that. So I think we'll wrap this up.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for listening. If you've been challenged or inspired by what you've heard, please rate and review the show. You can also subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode.
If you have any thoughts or questions, we would always love to hear from you, and you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370, or you can always hit us up on Instagram.
All right. Thanks, Maggie.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Bye.
Bye.